The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they'd done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. And then just over the page to verse 53. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged them to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Now, I'd just like to put this passage into context a bit, and you need to just look back to the beginning of chapter 6. And what we see here from verse 6 is that this is the point where Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. Up until this point, they've been following him. They've been watching what he's been doing. They've been seeing the miraculous work that he does. And now he calls to them. He calls them to him. He sends them out in pairs. He gives them authority. And he says, "You've seen what I've been doing. Now go and do it yourselves." And not only did they preach, but they drove out demons. They healed many people. As they'd gone out in faith, they had seen God at work. And now, in verse 30, it picks up from that point because we see the apostles gathering around Jesus and they're telling him all that they've seen. They're saying, "You sent us out and this is what happened. We saw these amazing things happen." But in the midst of this, we see also that there were many people coming and going that they didn't even have a chance to eat. May have been like some of you last week at the community fete. There were so many people coming and going, you didn't even have a chance for a cup of tea. People wanted to know what was going on and they wanted to find out. But Jesus is aware that the disciples need some rest. They're tired, they need sustenance. Remember when he'd sent them out on that mission, what we read at the beginning of chapter 6, what does he say to them? He says, "Don't take anything with you." They'd gone without provisions. They'd gone without extra clothing. They had probably come back exhausted. And I love this verse. He says, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." You see, Jesus recognizes this basic human need for rest. "Come with me to a quiet place," he says. Now, I suspect that many of us struggle to get the balance right between work and rest. Some of us will be driven and feel guilty when we're not working. Others of us may struggle to get motivated to work. And we often don't get that balance right. And neither of those kind of extremes are biblical. Jesus sent the disciples out on mission. He expected them to work, to do the things he had called them to do. But he didn't expect them to do that all the time because he says, "Come on, you've done that now. Now you need some rest." You see, work, ministry and service need to be balanced with rest. But I think what Jesus is talking about here is a bit more than just having an early night and a lie-in the next day, because he says, "Come with me and find rest." Some rest. Not go off and get a takeaway and an early night. Not take a couple of weeks off mission and then we'll come back to it. Come with me. And that's significant, I think, because rest for our souls won't come in its entirety just by switching off and going off on holiday, just by not working for a few days. It will give us some physical rest. but the kind of rest that God longs for us to have, the kind of rest where we experience his presence, where we bathe in it, where we soak in him, is the kind of rest that means that we go with Jesus. And so often, I think, if you're anything like me, when you go on holiday, it can be easy to leave Jesus behind. I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. So I want to look at four different things that I think come out from this that might be helpful to us over the coming weeks as we in church just slow down a bit, and I hope you too find time to slow down. And the first thing I want to talk about is finding a place to recharge. When we think of rest, a good place to start is right at the beginning of the Bible. What did God ordain in creation? You remember in the first chapter, he puts in place, you know, it was quite a busy week's work, wasn't it? Putting the whole universe in place. And then what he says, we read, is that God blesses the seventh day and makes it holy. He calls it a Sabbath day, a day of rest. And I think that kind of balance seems quite obviously right. 6/7 of the time for work and 1/7 of the time for rest with God. I think it's significant too that it was on the seventh day that Jesus rested between his work on the cross and the new work, the recreation of resurrection on that first Easter day. You see, God knows the importance of rest. He knows the importance of slowing and being with him. And the work of creation and the work of recreation or recreation go hand in hand. Does that make sense? The two things are integral. And when we get them out of balance, that's when stuff goes wrong. And there will be times in our lives, just like there have been in our church life over these last few weeks, when it is full on. 150th anniversary won't come round in our generation again. But there will be other things for us to do. And so it's right that we exert ourselves, that we put in that extra bit of effort. But it's also right then that we stop and we rest in Jesus. Finding rest for our souls. I was struck this morning at our early service this morning. We had a reading from Matthew chapter 11 with that verse that says, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say go from me. He says come to me. You see, that's the place where true rest is found. Then the second thing about this whole thing about finding rest for our souls, I think, is something about listening. So often in our daily lives, we're busy. You know, we get up early, we go off to work, we have a full day at work, we come back, there's food to cook, chores to do, maybe the odd meeting to attend, and so on. And we can find that we're almost on autopilot. Do you ever get in the car and you think, how did I get to where I've got to? Yeah? Scary, isn't it? But we do it so often because our minds are so full. God longs to have a conversation with us. God longs to speak to us and to nurture us. And yet, because of the busyness of life, we struggle to hear him. And one of the things that when we slow down, when we take rest in Jesus, is we can be more attuned to hearing his voice. When we take time out, God continues to speak. That's why things like retreats and quiet days or going to New Wine, as some of us will be in a couple of weeks, are so important, because they provide those little times of oasis where we can consciously focus on the voice of God. But I think these summer weeks can be like that for us too. A place for God to speak. A leisurely walk in the park. A day out by a lake or by the sea or to a nice park or garden. A time to slow and to still can be the time when we hear the voice of God. My Bible reading yesterday was Psalm 81. And in it, God says, if only my people would listen to me. And that really struck me. If only my people would listen to me. Why don't they listen to him? Because we're often so busy and we think we know. But God says, listen to me. And when we rest, we perhaps have a bit more time to do that. Then the third thing about resting is not just resting away from God and just leaving everything. Actually, resting with Jesus sustains and grows our faith. It can be so easy to shut God out of the equation when we escape from our daily routines. I find this, that when we're at work and I have a normal pattern, I carve out my quiet time, I know when I'm going to pray, and I read and stuff, but when we go on holiday, suddenly everything looks different, and those routines that I have as part of my normal day can go by the wayside. But it's important for us to find new routines that work when we are on holiday, because as we rest, God can surprise us. In the middle of the passage that I read today, I read that little bit at the beginning, from verse 30 to 34, and then at the end. But we find God surprising his followers, and particularly the disciples, in two ways. Firstly, he feeds a large crowd of people. All these people had come flooding to Jesus, and he takes some loaves and the fishes, and he feeds them. And then the disciples go off on a boat, and he comes out to them walking on water. You see, in that place where he has said to them, come away with me, come and find rest with me. And they've gone off and there's still stuff going on. But actually in that place, he meets them in a special way. And I believe that that's true for us too. As we invite Jesus to come with us to that place of rest, so he comes and surprises us in the things that he does. And then the final thing I just want to highlight from this is that rest is a time to be different, to do different things, or perhaps to do the same things differently. You see, it's good to take time out from our daily work, our daily routines. And that's what we find in this passage. The disciples had gone off. They'd gone off with Jesus. But the demands of ministry were still all around them. People still came. People still needed to be fed. And at the end, people came for healing in all sorts of ways. But in the midst of that, Jesus has said, come with me. And in we will find some little spaces for rest. And when we go away, we like new adventures, we like new places. But if we are to go with Jesus, we need to consciously build him in to our times away. Finding routines that might work when we're away. What might that be like? Well, it can be, you know, if you're on holiday, if you've got family, it can be a challenge to kind of fit in the demands of family and have a quiet time and read the Bible and pray. But we can perhaps do that as we're out in the country or at the seaside, as we're relaxing. We can listen to Christian music in our headphones. We can enjoy a quiet walk. We can read a Christian book when we're resting. A friend of mine, when he goes on holiday, takes a stack of Christian books and a stack of fiction and alternates them so that he kind of, you know, enjoys a good murder mystery, but actually reads some good Christian stuff as well to get that balance right. When we're away, so many of us perhaps don't bother about worship. Why not go to a local church? Why not go, especially if the worship is different to what we're used to? It's amazing how God can meet us in those places where things are different. And if we're not going away, if we're just staying in Ealing, there's so many beautiful places around here. We don't have to walk very far to find vast open spaces where we can sit and think and look at things from a different perspective. And it's good to ask God what he's saying in those places. It's good to ask him to speak. Maybe jot those things down and come back to them at the end of the summer. There are so many different ways of going to rest with Jesus. And I want to encourage all of us to do that this summer, to find rest for our bodies, to find rest for our minds, but most importantly, to find rest for our souls. It may seem like the midst of summer, but the autumn isn't far away, and it won't be long before we look back and holidays and hot weather are behind us. So let's make the most of it now. Let's make the most of these weeks to find rest for our souls, to find space for our lives, to allow the invitation of Jesus to come with me and rest, to sink deep into our hearts. I pray that for every one of us, we will find that space, whatever we're doing, whether we're in Ealing or we're thousands of miles away, that we will find space to encounter him afresh. Because when we do that, as we come back to that place of work and ministry and normality, we will know the refreshing and the equipping that he's given to us as we met him, that we can continue to fulfill his purposes in his name.